231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Joseph Jordan, Jimmy Tardy, and Joel. The producer is Galen Sanford. Our engineers are Ian Westmoreland and Galen Sanford. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you'd like to call your elected officials about any issue you've heard on the news tonight, here are their phone numbers. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. Senator Jeff Merkley, 503-326-3386. Oregon Governor Kate Brown's phone number is 503-378-3111. And Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You're listening to KBOO in Portland at 90.7 FM. We're in Philomath at 104.3 FM and in Hood River at 91.9 FM. I'm Andrew Geller.
And I'm Brian Pritchett. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7 o'clock, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, it's a special KBOO Board Candidate Forum moderated by Dave Mazza. We'll hear from the four candidates for this year's elections, Shaheen Khalili, Timothy Welp, Gil Carden, and Kip Kruger. At 9 o'clock, it's Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know, with host Teresa Mitchell. At 9:30, Parafoggering hosts Fight the Empire, connecting history with the latest world events. At 10 o'clock, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 o'clock on Between the Covers, writer David Mitchell talks about his novel, The Bone Clocks. And at 11:30, it's Black Book Talk, a monthly program featuring interviews and discussions of works by African-American authors. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support of community radio. If you are not a member, you can become one right now by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
Today I'm talking to Juwan Kim in Oakland, and you're going to be coming up here and playing some music live in Portland, Oregon, September 6th. Where are you going to be playing at?
Star Theater.
What's the name of your project, Juwan?
Our group is called Ensemble Miknawuj. It's Miknawuj, Ensemble Miknawuj. It's my name spelled backwards.
Okay, and what instrumentation does the ensemble consist of?
We have flute, clarinet, violin, cello, piano, drum and bass, two MCs, and a lyric soprano.
That's very impressive. And one of the things that caught my attention is that you guys are a multiracial conglomeration of artists, yeah?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Is that intentional or is that just circumstantial?
No, it wasn't really intentional. And I also think that I have sort of a omnivorous musical taste as well. And then I have a bunch of different friends. I went to conservatory doing my master's in composition, but I also heavily got into hip hop about 10 years ago. And then this is sort of a, organic progression for me. So all the people who are involved in the ensemble wasn't really put together like in the last minute. It was, pretty much like handpicked. And I, there are either, like, if you're a violinist, they're a great violinist. If you're MC, I believe that their flow is impeccable. And I select the people that I have pretty carefully. So, right.
So you're saying that over a number of years, this ensemble was basically the members of the ensemble were able to come together. So did this start out as a vision in your head that you went and then set out over time to find the appropriate personnel?
No, it's actually it started as completely an accidental sort of endeavor. I was at the conservatory doing my master's, doing classical composition, and I did a piece for a student composer's concert. And I did a novelty piece where there was a chamber music and MC in it. So, and then when we did that piece, of course, number one, it created big controversy among the teacher. They hated it. And then number two, we got a full page write up on Oakland Tribune. I didn't like do anything. Everybody really loved it. And my MC at the time thought that it was a great idea to make an album. And I spent next 6 months writing about an hour of music.
Wow.
In the process of that, though, like after I did that, you know, at the time, and I still do, I think that I'm a pretty serious composer, whatever that means. So I had to seriously thought about what I did with my life. And during the course of that, I sort of re-examined the current aesthetics, and that transformed the point of view that I had about music. And I also had a problem with contemporary classical music and how it was very specific and like Western European. And like, I just was having a, sort of like a personal dilemma, and I wanted a way out. And in the course of getting into hip hop, I listened to N.W.A.'s very first album, which is just made into movie. Mm-hmm. It was a game changer for me. After that, I really got into basically G-Funk mainly at first, and then ventured into Wu-Tang, of course, J Dilla, and that sort of changed a lot. And then I, about 5 years ago, I formed this company with my best friend, and then we've been pushing this project pretty seriously from then on. So.
You talked about a transformative experience that took place in your life, coming from a traditionally Eurocentric musical framework in an academic setting, and then developing more of an appreciation for hip hop. And I'm curious about the intersection of music and politics, as well as culture, that and where that sits in your consciousness.
Well, I mean, just to be clear, I have to tell everyone that I didn't grow up here. I came here when I was 20 years old. So it took me about, I guess, 17 years now to realize that there's some sort of systematic racism around me. And I lived a pretty sheltered life, I think, even when I was here, because I went to conservatory, I went to Berklee College of Music. And in Berklee, you know, people from all over the world always are there. So, and then I didn't go out to, you know, backwoods of Boston to hang out with this whatever. Like, I just did a lot of music. And also in my 20s, from age 20 to 27, I was in a Zen temple studying meditation. So I was in school, but I would go back and, you know. So having said that, I have realized that there has been, and again, I hate talking about politics, because I also feel like because I didn't really experience American sort of culture in a, you know, early age. Like some Asian Americans had different, very different experience than I did, I'm sure. And of course, you know, African Americans and other Latino people. But I can only talk about music very confidently because I know it pretty well, I feel. So if you were to think about jazz, an inception of jazz, people put that down. People, as in mainstream people, called it jungle music, hot music, and then put it in a category that was some sort of somehow like subpar to the Western European music or any other music. And then, of course, we know what happened. Jazz established itself into a as a premier American sort of art music. In fact, it is before hip hop. It is the only American indigenous art music that can be compared to Western European music or any other, you know, valid other cultures classical music. And this kind of attitude exists still in hip hop. When you look at hip hop, people used to call it street music. It's non-music. You know, it's just some sort of noise with complaints and like weird ghetto cultures there, blah, 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 all this stuff. And I think that it's a very, of course, it's a racist idea, but also it's a very hindering factor for enriching American culture, because hip hop is new jazz. The reason for that is that the rhyming in hip hop, and you know, it's a mode of thinking about things as sort of sources for sampling, did not exist until now in human history. Maybe not sampling, because sampling is sort of like how we learn knowledge, because people to sample things. You know, this happened. It's a common human thing. But rhyming, and so poetry in motion, what message, but reacting to music and rhythm, and then line, you know, like sort of floating over and creating this sort of active performing arts / music thing, did not exist, period. Jazz, people say, oh, jazz improv is very important. Yes, it is important, but also in Baroque period, they had similar sort of idea of like, okay, there's, you know, bass note, and there's this thing called figured bass, which is like numbers, sort of like what we have in the chord symbols, and then the keyboardist would improvise. But rhyming never, ever existed in human history. So I think this is an incredibly significant thing, and I also think that in the beginning, compared to beginning of hip hop, and it started as like a party music, and the MCs weren't as important as the dancers. And then now we have virtuous MCs. We have Kendrick Lamar, you know. We have, of course, Eminem is in virtuous MCs, and we have profoundly musical producers, the late Jay Dilla, and of course, you know, Dr. Dre pushed a lot of things. So this is basically, I always give this analogy, like the beginning of jazz, and compare that to when bebop happened. Harmonic language of jazz and how jazz was practiced is completely different. And you cannot compare the two languages, because it's so complex at that point. And we have personalities like, you know, Charlie Parker, Coltrane, and, you know, Monk coming out in that time. And they were all already exposed to the rudimentary practice of jazz. And then they did their own thing, and it just pushed the language, and it did a quantum jump. And hip-hop is at the point where it started as this sort of simple but potent expression, but it's becoming incredibly sophisticated. And I feel like what we're doing in Ensemble Meknawuj is actually in line of this kind of thinking, but bringing in some certain classical techniques that I feel like that are compatible, not entirely, but just certain things, and injecting it into hip-hop and making a variant of hip-hop. Yeah, I mean, not only that, like when Jay Dilla passed, the MPC that he used, Smithsonian took it and then put it in their collection. Mm-hmm. And also, like, when he passed, there is a cult of Jay Dilla that's out there, you know, in Europe. See, this is what happens. A lot of times, you know, all these, you know, blue R&B artists or jazz artists, they were totally discriminated against for whatever reason. I'm not going to get into it because there's a whole lot of can of worms that I don't want to open right now. Mm. But in Europe, they were like, oh my God, this is amazing American music. And then Rolling Stones accepted these people, and they were influenced by all these things, and they made their own version, and it's like whole British rock invasion started because of this, you know? So
right.
I think this is a very common pattern that I'm realizing in America now. Mm. And of course, like, you know, Mr. Trump that's saying crazy stuff right now. It's kind of crazy to me. So
well, yeah, you know, the deconstruction of white supremacy is actually central to my analysis as an individual. It's also a part of KBOO Community Radio's mission statement, cloaked in the term decolonize, you know, which is actually in our mission statement. And in looking at our current conditions in a historical context. And I know, you know, we oftentimes, those of us that are artists, we don't want to explicitly be political, but we also have to understand that we don't exist in a vacuum. And that,
that is very true. Yeah.
The political history influences our expression, does it not?
Definitely. I think that the whole reason how hip hop developed and how, like, largely African American culture and music developed was the fact that, you know, they were sort of excluded. And my, you know, my approach is that what if these people actually had sort of resources in the beginning? We would have created personalities like Josephine Defray or like J.S. Bach, you know, like I'm not saying to like discredit or, you know, disrespect all this masters of the genres, but I'm just saying they just suffered a lot and then created this beautiful jewels, like, you know, Pearl, you know, and I think that the expression is so potent and universal, and there's evidence for it. I liked it. I couldn't even understand what they were saying. And then I was like, wow, like, second track after Police. Oh my God, these guys, who are these guys?
You right.
So yeah.
Well, why don't you let the people know the time and date and the location for your show in Portland?
So we're going to be performing at Star Theater on September 6th at 8 p.m. And you can find all the information at miknowoj.com. That is miknowoj.com.
It's been great talking to you, Juwan, and I'm going to look forward to catching up with you when you're in Portland.
Have you entered the KBOO Fall Membership Drive Sweepstakes? The grand prize is a trip to Busurias, Mexico, including $1,000 in airfare,